and authors, visionaries and leaders in the human potential movement so that we can, you know, get all the tips we can on how to live a life that is extraordinary. Otherwise, why bother, you know? It's time. It's time. Suffering is optional. And this hour is brought to you by the Gerson Institute, curing cancer and other degenerative diseases, one person at a time. For more information, go to gersonmedia.com, Gerson like person, but with a G as in George. And also by Access Consciousness. How does it get any better than this? For more information, go to accessconsciousness.com. Rod Slonka was 41 years old, and he was on the fast track of life. He had a six-figure income, generous expense account, fifth-floor corner office, personal secretary, executive parking, brand-new car, and a brain tumor. Wow. So his life was turned upside down, and he underwent 19 sessions of radiation therapy and 3 months of chemo, and then he pulled the plug and said, enough. His hair was gone, his vision was failing, his skin was gray, but he was also becoming very depressed and negative. And at that moment, he made a committed decision to do whatever it took to reverse his condition and regain his life back with his wife and four children. They needed their dad. So he did the most unthinkable thing. He interviewed cancer survivors and did what they did. Rod, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Sheila. I appreciate you having me.
So when did this happen?
It was July 24th, 2003. I had a seizure at work. I woke up on a gurney going down the hallway, not knowing any, having any idea where I was. And they told me I had a seizure. I'd never had a seizure in my life. And so that was kind of a rude awakening. And they gave me a cursory examination. They sent me home, and they said, you know what, just for a grin, you should probably go see a neurologist. And so a week later, I did that, and they said, well, not good news. You have a brain tumor. And, you know, that's kind of where my story takes off.
Wow. So after, do you think it had anything to do with the cell phone?
I do. For many years, I was not a cell phone user. And when I got the big promotion, we talked about the fifth floor corner office and all those amenities. Well, that made me a very heavy duty cell phone user, and over 1,000 hours a month easily. And many people do in excess of that. So, and there is a whole mechanism why that was so, and we can talk about that if you like. But
well, we'll talk about that.
The cell phone was definitely a part of it.
Yeah, okay. We'll talk about that in a little bit, because that is really something to, that you want to bring to our attention, because there's going to be a lot more of those, I'm sure. So so I could understand being very depressed with the prognosis, with all that toxin in your body from all that chemo and stuff like that. And so tell me what happened. Was it going into remission? Was the tumor shrinking?
Well, they had removed the tumor. They had performed the craniotomy. To remove an anaplastic astrocytoma, for anybody who cares, grade 3. That was the tumor they took out. So there was no more tumor in there. What they do is they give you these adjunctive therapies, and what they tell you is, well, we have to make sure there's nothing left, so we're going to give you these adjunctive therapies. Well, these adjunctive therapies are tantamount to poison, like you said. And I was reaching a level of toxicity, and my body was failing. I was losing weight. My skin was gray. And so I was at the stages where I knew I had to make a decision pretty quick, and if I didn't, I wouldn't have been going back the other way. But what happens to people who undergo cancer, and, if you haven't, what happens is the chemo will make you depressed, okay? And
mm-hmm.
People get to a point where they're just like, hey, forget it. This is what it's all about. I just want out. And they just quietly, they crawl into a corner and die. And it's very, very sad, and it's completely unnecessary.
Mm. Yeah, well, I'm so glad that you're here to tell us. So what did you do to heal yourself and be well and flourish?
Well, I was about, like I said, 3 months into it, and I called up my oncologist and my radiologist and said, listen, guys, I can't do it anymore, no more. And I swore I heard the radiologist, who I'd had a pseudo-relationship, friendship with the man, and I heard a sigh of relief. And I think I heard a sigh of relief because they know that these people don't recover. Once they go down this path, and matter of fact, and this is true, when I was in there being fitted for the radiotherapy, The nurses used to tell my wife, honey, your husband's in denial. You can't afford to be in denial, too. You better get your papers in order. And, you know, that's so crazy you couldn't even write that. But that's the truth. So that told me that they didn't believe that this was helping anybody either, you know. So I knew I had to do something. And so, like you had mentioned at the beginning of the show, I just kind of said, this guy survived, and this guy survived, and this lady survived. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to interview them and find out what they did. And I kind of came up with a whole program based off of the results I got back from those people.
Now, did you write a book?
I wrote two books, yeah. My first book was called The State of Being, and the newest book I have out is called Decide to Live, and it's in the second edition.
The what?
It's called Decide to Live.
Decide to Live. Ooh, I love that title. Decide to Live. And
right,
your website is healinghut.net, is that right?
Yes, ma'am, that's it.
Healinghut.net. And Decide to Live. So, wow. So let's hear it. Give us the good stuff.
Okay. Well, where do you want to start? I mean, first of all, I mean, this is a broad statement. But
okay.
Conventional therapies do not work. And you say, well, Rod, how can you say that? Well, I'm one of the guys who actually, you know, dug through the American Cancer Society reports that they put out every year. And, you know, every year they have these propaganda, you know, headlines that says, hey, we're making strides, we've saved this many lives and that. But if you go to the reports on the American Cancer Society, you can actually see that the numbers are not going down at all, Sheila. They're actually going up. They're still rising. You know?
Wow.
And that's not just new cases. That's mortality figures, you know. And they're very ingenious how they do this. They actually put the mortality data 3 years in the rears. So the 2009 report, for example, would have mortality data from 2006. And so it's very hard for the average person to go in there and kind of come up with some sort of a credible analysis of what's going on, because it's 50 pages and you really have to read through it. But, you know, I'm very determined. So I actually did that. I condensed the findings onto one chart, which you can see on the first page of my website, healinghut.net, on the index page. And I have it all broken down there by numbers.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, yes, you know, Howard Strauss is the grandson of Dr. Max Gerson.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a sponsor of the show. He'll be on tomorrow. And so he talked about the chemo is what kills you, and radiation, that will kill you.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And by the way, Max Gerson and Charlotte, who carries on, you know, in his name, great stuff. You know, they taught me. I learned so much. I read everything that they had in print, and I just started reading a lot of people like Edward Griffin and people like that.
Wonderful.
And people who just anything he wrote about, you know, alternative therapies and alkalizing the body and things like that, and that's how I turned things around.
So what do you think was one or two of the most important things that you did differently?
Well, one, you have to quit what you were doing. If you know, I mean, you can't solve a problem with the mindset that created it. So, I mean, obviously, if your diet and your lifestyle is not supporting you, you have to change those things, okay? And that's probably the hardest sticking point for most people, because they go to their doctor, and the doctor says, well, I don't have to give up sugar and all this stuff. And, you know, Rod says I do, but the doctor says he, and Rod doesn't have any letters after his name, so I'm going to listen to this guy. And unfortunately, you know, nothing good comes of that. So you have to have a lifestyle change. But for me, what that amounted to is changing my diet and alkalizing my diet, a lot of alkaline foods. As a matter of fact, I went to see this doctor on referral of somebody. He was a holistic doctor, and they said, this guy helped my mom. Go see him. And he was great, and he put me on what was what I know today to be an alkaline diet. But at that time, I had no idea what alkalinity was. He did not use the term alkaline diet, but it was all green foods and green drinks and stuff like that, much like the Garrison Institute uses in their
mm-hmm.
therapy. And that started giving my body good nutrition, started alkalizing my body. It started giving it the enzymes that it needed.
Mm.
You know, it did a bunch of good things all at one time for me. You know, and I was not cognizant of all the things it was doing. I didn't learn years later until what it was actually doing. But that's what was, in fact, taking place.
Gosh, that's amazing. So now, what was the prognosis of this? Was this
death?
Wow.
Yeah, they like I said, and they used to tell my wife, your husband's in denial. You can't afford to be in denial. You have to get your paperwork in order, you know. And they just did that because they thought they were being nice to her, because they liked her, you know, because she would sit there and talk with them while I was getting my treatments, and they really thought that they were being benevolent to her.
Well, let's talk about the cost of some of these treatments. Do you know how much chemo costs?
Well, the chemotherapeutic agent I used was something called Temodar, and it came in 25 500 milligram capsules, and every month that was like $5,200. And I believe I've heard facts and figures recently it's even higher than that, like something like $6,000 a month for 25 500 milligram capsules.
Holy cheapers.
Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy amount. I don't know how much the linear accelerator, you know, radiation therapy costs, but it's expensive. You know, it's a huge, huge business. It's over a $100 billion industry, and so nobody's in a big hurry to end it.
You got that right. As a matter of fact, I was just looking here for some notes because I know that Howard Strauss, who's Charlotte's son,
mm-hmm.
just gave me some stats on the cost of these pharmaceuticals. I mean, like, $320 for these pills that cost three cents to make. You know, I mean,
right.
Ridiculous. It's just
right.
absurd.
I mean, there's a huge amount of markup in it. The pharmaceutical companies, as they are, they give away about $8 billion a year in samples to doctors, you know, our MDs, our local guys, you know.
Yep.
So when these doctors are prescribing new drugs, it's not because they've done in-depth research and they said, hey, this looks like something that would be good for my patients. They've been given the sample by some salesman who said, here, give this to your patients.
Yeah, and you can have a trip to Florida next month, too.
Or whatever. If you can get
yeah.
them on Crestor,
whatever
we'll give you residuals
do.
For the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know? It's almost like annuities, you know. And nobody wants to hear that about their doctor, because the biggest thing I run into, and I give talks to people all the time, and the biggest thing I run into is people think, oh, my doctor, he is such a nice guy. I can't believe he would do anything intentionally wrong to me. And you know, my only answer to that is that at some point they've got to notice if these patients are going one way and they're not coming back, that something's amiss. And nobody seems to care too much about that.
Mm. So it is 17 past the hour, and if you're just joining us, I'm Sheila Gale. My guest is Rod Zlonka. His website is healinghut.net, and his latest book is Decide to Live. If you or someone you know has cancer, or if you would like to prevent cancer, if you're a heavy cell phone user, listen to this interview. Go to his website and do some research. He was able to, you know, walk away from conventional treatment, and that saved his life by going alkaline. And what else? Tell me about attitude. How about your thoughts? How important was that?
Well, here's the thing. You do have to change how you think, because, I mean, we're all petty creatures to some degree. You know, we harbor resentment against people or whatever. And one of the things I was told when I first became ill, they said, you have to forgive everybody for everything, okay? And that was great advice, because I was no longer holding that frustration, anger towards, you know, other people. Well, when you hold those ugly emotions all the time, you can't expect anything good to come out of it, you know? So I really had to forgive everybody for everything. And not that anybody did anything horrendous to me, but I'm just talking day-to-day things. And really start saying, you know what, no matter what, I'm going to find the good in this person, I'm going to find the good in the situation, or I'm going to concentrate on something, my outcome, I'm going to intend my day the way I want it to come out. And believe it or not, that works for me 95% of the time.
I believe
it. This is what I want to see out of this day. I want to have a great day. I want to be in harmony with everybody and everything. I have tremendous results with that.
Good for you. We recently had Dr. Bruce Lipton on, a scientist, a biologist, who says, out of the three components of disease, the number one, most important one, are your thoughts.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with him more. And, matter of fact, when I give talks, I tell people, I give them my whole program and what I did and everything, but at the end I tell people, I says, all this accounts for about 10% of the whole paradigm. The way you run your mind and your emotions are the other 90%. They're the most important thing, and there's something nobody else can do for you but you. I think it's that important.
I agree. So what else besides the diet and the thoughts? Anything else you can give listeners as a tips, ideas?
Well, yeah, I mean, first of all, you can go to my website and get my whole regimen, everything I took. Okay, absolutely free. It's there, you know, so you can see what I took. You can do your own research on it. I tell people that I shouldn't be the end-all, be-all for anybody's research. I should be a starting point, okay? Look where I've gotten, and then carry the ball a little bit farther than I did, okay? Because if I got this far, how far can they get? But the whole thing is, there's a bunch of information on there that's worked for thousands and thousands and thousands of cancer patients. I use one supplement, which is called Laetrile, which is very, you know, I mean, I don't know if you remember the 70s, but the FDA had a wind shot for Laetrile, but it's basically just apricot kernels. That's all it is. And that was one of the things I used. And I used, like, pancreatic enzymes, vitamins and trace minerals like selenium, very important stuff. And it's all there and salt-free.
Wow. That's
and,
so great.
You know, there's other doctors like Dr. Hiromi Shinya, who was like the co-creator of the colonoscopy. And I've got his whole diet. Now, he wrote three books, and in his books he said, I've done over 300,000 colonoscopies. All my patients who I'm treating for cancer, none of them have had a single cancer reoccurrence. Okay, now I think that should be front page news on every newspaper from here to Tokyo. Okay, but nobody prints this stuff. Now, this guy's not some schluck doctor. This guy is like chief of surgery at Albert Einstein College in New York. He's a very reputable, well-known doctor. And this guy came out and said, I don't believe in chemo or radiation therapy. I put him on what is basically a raw food diet. I make sure they drink like alkaline water, and I try to work on their thoughts. And he says he's not had one cancer patient who's ever had a reoccurrence. And I think that's powerful.
That is very powerful.
And, again, I've got his whole regimen. If you go to my website and go to Alkalinity, at the top of the page, so you can have his whole diet for free. It's right there.
Wow, that's great. Okay, 23 past the hour. So hear ye. If you or someone you know has cancer, you want to prevent cancer, go to Rod's website, www.healinghut.net, and he's got all this amazing information for free, what he took, what he ate, the enzymes, things to stay away from, things to eat and not eat, things to do, and change your thoughts, change your life. I mean, it is such an inside job, is it not?
It's completely an inside job, and again, it's... When we get away from the paradigm that the doctor is going to heal me and take the responsibility and say, hey, I'm going to do this myself, and then magic happens, okay? As long as you think somebody else is going to fix you, then you're powerless, okay?
And that's a very good point. Now, I just want to say, that is a very good point. As soon as you think somebody else is going to fix you, you are powerless because you're giving your power over. I never thought of it like that. I had a major aha moment. Thank you, Rod.
Well, hey, if I can help anybody with an aha moment, I think I did a good day's work anyway.
I mean, it's really wonderful. It's very, very true. So whether you have cancer, no matter what the prognosis has been, there, you know, don't just go with the protocol. Go to this website. Listen to other people. I know of many other cancer survivors who did not go conventional and are alive and well. And
Yeah. You know what? There's so many brilliant people out there, Sheila, that, like, I listen to interviews on your site and other sites. And the answers are all there. You just got to go get them. They really are there. For one of the things I'd like to stress with your listeners is that, like, cell phones. Like, you hear a lot about cell phones and they're dangerous. Well, they do a number of different things to your brain. One, they open up what's called the blood-brain barrier. And that blood-brain barrier there is there for a reason, so things that are living in your blood can't go to your brain and vice versa. And so that's one of the things they do, and they shut down intercellular communication. So your nutrients can't get in, your excrements can't get out of the cells. It has a pronounced effect on the brain. So what I tell people is that, hey, either use a speakerphone, or get an earpiece, you know, and that's still not going to make it 100% safe, but it's going to decrease the effects of that foam by 95% at least. You know, keep it away from your head.
Boy, that is really something good to hear. And, you know, I have teenagers, but thank God they're texters. So it's not...
They're what?
They text. So
yes.
That's their way of communicating. They don't even know how to talk on the phone.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, because I have teenagers as well. How many teenagers do you see that they sleep with the phone in their bed?
Close to their bed, yeah. Not good.
It's not a good thing. So, I mean, you know, for parents, if they can just get the kid to put it an extra 2 foot away.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's the little things that make the big difference.
Yeah, very good point. Man. Oh, wow. What a great story. Well, I'm so glad that you're doing this work, and... we just have about 2 minutes left, so what would you like to leave our listeners with?
Well, what I'd like to tell people is that there's always a door number two. please, if you get a bad prognosis from a doctor, they tell you something that, you know, really takes the wind out of your sails, it's not the end of all things. Matter of fact, cancer, and I would never say it's been a blessing to me, but it's opened up many, many doors for me. I've got to meet tremendous people like yourself, Sheila, that I never would have met had this not happened to me. So it's not the end of things, and you can reverse any condition. I don't care how bad they, how dire a picture they paint for you. It can be reversed. And just read what other people have done and do it yourself and believe, and it'll happen.
Fantastic. Rod, you are an inspiration, and I thank you for that great, great talk. And good luck to you and your wonderful family and the work that you're doing. And, you know, keep spreading the word. And believe you me, this will be syndicated on World Puja. Right now we're live on in Monterey, Santa Cruz County at KNRY, but we're gonna make sure more people in the world get to hear this wonderful information that can change their life.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on the show. And
you
I said, if there's anything I can do for you or any of your listeners, anytime you can email me. I respond to all my emails eventually. I will get back to you.
Rod Zlonka, CZLONKA at yahoo.com.
Yeah, it only took my wife 3 years to figure out how to say that. So.
Okay, kiddo. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sheila.
All right. We will be back in just a couple minutes with another amazing story. Oh, my gosh. Stick around. You do not want to miss this.
Beauty queen of only 18, she had some trouble with herself. He was always there to help her. She always belonged to someone else. I drove for miles and miles and wound up at your door. I've had you so many times, but somehow I want more. I don't mind spending every day out on your corner in the pouring rain. Look for the girl with the broken smile. Ask her if she wants to stay a while. If she will.
What if you could be your own healer? You can unleash your natural healing abilities with the AIM program of energetic balancing. Everything is energy, and we are all connected by it. Tap into this spiritual energy and heal yourself 24/7 from anywhere in the world. This exciting spiritual technology has been featured in best-selling books like Natural Cures and in Dr. Wayne Dyer's There's a Spiritual Solution to Every Problem. To learn more about the AIM program and energetic self-healing, visit aimprogram.com or call 877-500-3622 to request an information packet. Ask about our complimentary scholarship programs for those with the frequency of autism or Down syndrome. Join nearly 50,000 worldwide and unleash your natural self-healing abilities with the AIM program of energetic balancing. Learn how to raise your consciousness, increase your life force, attract abundance, love, and more. Call 877-500-3622 or visit aimprogram.com for details.
What if you had a life beyond your wildest imagination? What if life is about living in the question? I'm Sheila Gale. Access consciousness are tools and processes that allow you to change anything in your life that is not working for you. Isn't that cool? One of the main concepts in Access is the question. What if instead of question answer, it was question receive? You see, as humans, we're great doers and givers, but lousy receivers. We're meant to receive, but we've forgotten how. Access consciousness is unlike any technique or modality I've ever seen. It is here now because it's time now for us to wake up to the truth that we are infinite beings and to stop playing small. What if the answer is actually the question, like, what would it take for me to have lots and lots of money? Instead of looking for answers, there's awareness and energy that allows the universe to send it to you. Answers, conclusions, opinions all stop the flow of energy. How does it get any better than this? For more information, go to accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com.
Beauty queen of only 18, she had some trouble with herself. He was always there to help her. She always belonged to someone.
It is 30 past the hour, and I'm still waiting for our caller, our next guest. So until she comes on, let's listen to this amazing song by Maroon 5.
I've had you so many times, but somehow I want more. I don't mind spending every day out on your corner in the pouring rain. Look for the girl with the broken smile. Ask her if she wants to stay.
Well, isn't that a great song? I love that. That's Maroon 5. And, yeah, welcome back. I'm Sheila Gale, Candlebinder. There it is. Okay, hang on a second. Here we go. I just do love this song. It is 32 past the hour. Hope you're having a terrific day. Boy, what a great show. What wonderful, wonderful information for you guys. And that information continues with our next guest. Eric Rooney Medhus was 20 years old when he took his own life. Since that sad, tragic day, an overwhelming sense of grief and despair propelled his mother into a search for answers, answers that would provide her and others with comfort and hope. Some of those answers came from many books she bought, but many came from a very unexpected place, from Eric himself. Through dreams, visitations, and channeling, Eric describes what happens during the death process, what the afterlife is like, what he does with his time there, and what it feels like to be a free soul, the nature of thought and reality, the meaning of life and human experience, as well as others. Alisa, welcome to the program.
Hi, Sheila. Boy, you make him sound like an overachiever, huh?
Well, you know, it's good to hear you, and it's good to hear you laugh. I mean, that had to have been just horrible.
Oh, gosh, I can't tell you.
Yeah.
Of course, there are still some days where it's hard to get out of bed. Nobody wants to lose a child. But Eric has pulled me along in this journey, much to my great surprise.
Surprise. Now, what's your background?
I'm an internal medicine physician.
Okay.
Mother of five, live
wow.
in Houston, Texas, been married for 27 years. Now, my being a physician has been a bit of a stumbling block. Because, you know, I have such a heavy background in science that all of this was very new to me. To me, reality was whatever I could perceive with my five senses. So this whole woo-woo spiritual New Age stuff was so foreign.
Yes.
Until Eric started visiting people.
Wow. So now, did he visit them first or you?
Oh, yeah. They visited everybody else but me first.
He did.
And, you know, I think I understand why. When you're a grieving mother, your energy is just so dense. It's really hard to get through. I mean, you probably had to use a bullhorn and a 2x4 to get through to me. But I think one of the most interesting visits came, you know, a day after his death to my father. My father is almost 90 years old. He's from Spain, and he's an atheist. He was raised Catholic, and he just doesn't believe in any of this. And one of his first words when I came to his house right after to basically to get comfort was, "I'm so sorry, that's it. We just turned to dust after this." So I thought, okay, thanks a lot. Meanwhile, my mother, 81 years old, is kicking him in the shins, but that's a whole other story unto itself. And the next day, my father called, very startled, saying, "Oh, my gosh, Alisa, I don't know what to think. I'm so startled. Eric just appeared right before me." in the flesh. And, you know, then he turned into a small child and sat in my lap and laid his head against my chest and said in Spanish, things come in threes. I don't know what that means. I still don't know what that means. But it shook his paradigm and
wow.
made me think, wow.
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 So now this was in 2009, so this is not that long ago, the end of 2009.
No. Mm-hmm.
So now what, you know, with our limited time, we have about 20 minutes, but I just want to get as much of this information as we can. So is there a particular person that he comes to or through right now?
Well, he does come to me. I mean, he comes to his sister. He comes to some of the blog members. Actually, he visits a lot of the blog members and pranks them. For example, one woman, Randy, sometimes when she goes out to jog, she'll come back and all her drawers will be open, you know, in her kitchen. And she's kind of OCD, so she doesn't like everything open, but they'll all be open. And sometimes he'll come with noxious fumes. But there has been a time where I actually have seen him jumping on my bed.
Wow.
And my sister Denise, who is also deceased, was in the corner watching him. And he was jumping and jumping, just like a little kid, having all sorts of fun. And I was following him along, and I thought, oh, God, I know I'm awake, okay?
Yeah.
And I looked in his eyes, and he looked at mine, and he just realized, oh, my gosh, you see me. He was shocked. And so he came over and hugged me, and it felt so real and solid, and that was definitely not a dream.
Wow, that's so
you know,
cool.
I realize now, after having so many experiences, which I've documented all in the blog, that that there's a lot more to reality than I thought. There's a lot more to reality than what can be perceived by our senses.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now what kind of stuff is he saying? I mean, it sounds to me, what I'm getting so far is that this all happened for a reason. He was supposed to live 20 years, and he's supposed to come back with this valuable information that he seems to be, you know, communicating to a lot of different people, because most people don't come back and say, oh, yeah, here's what it's like, and here's what it's like when you die, and blah, blah, blah. So
well,
this
that's
is very,
true.
You know,
he was supposed to die a little bit later. From what I understand, it's not very common to have suicide as your destiny. That's very rare.
Right.
And he does share a little bit about suicide and how it's really a no-no unless it's your destiny, which, again, very, very rare. Because what happens when you commit suicide when it's not your time is you just lose your body. You have all the same baggage. You carry it across the threshold with you. Not only that, you leave in your wake just a great deal of pain, and he says that you can hear everybody's thoughts and you can feel every feeling. You know when people are grieving. It's very painful for them.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
So,
well, that's a good thing to know. We just, you know, recently had a boy jump off a bridge to try to kill himself, but thank God he didn't die, but he was pretty banged up. So what else, what are some important messages that Eric is giving us?
Well, he describes the afterlife as being just beautiful, and he describes his own death as just most of the time he says death is not painful at all. It's just like shedding a suit of clothes. He talks about the human experience, that we choose to come to Earth because there's duality here, and you can learn from the contrast. You really can't understand the nature of hot unless you experience cold. You can't experience what true forgiveness is unless you're betrayed, for example. I mean, you can learn about, for example, how to make brownies by reading a recipe. And you know all about brownies, and you know what they look like in a picture, but until you really bake the brownies, you don't know the real essence of brownies. Oh, gosh, now I'm hungry now. But anyway, that's a whole other story. So we come to Earth because it's like our chemistry lab. It's not only do we need the theoretical knowledge, but we also need the experiential knowledge of who we are and what life's all about.
So the thing I don't get about that is, you know, if we're God, if we're all a part of God, the Creator, why would we have to learn anything?
Well, we don't have to learn. He says it's all about remembering. It's remembering who we are. We come here and we have spiritual amnesia because we want every experience to be new so we can learn a lot more from the duality. You know, if we come in knowing everything, then how can we struggle? And this is the earthly plane is a wonderful place because we have free will. And unfortunately, we can just give ourselves enough free will to hang ourselves and to destroy ourselves.
Yeah.
But it's a wonderful learning experience. And he also teaches us that, you know, in every hardship we have, there is a lesson. There's nothing that's right or wrong. There's a lesson and a beautiful lesson in everything. And he also says that what's the worst that can happen to us? We're eternal beings, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
And we're here living in this little school play,
mm-hmm.
Thinking that everything we're going through,
yeah.
Whether it's a fight with our spouse, et cetera, is just so much and so overwhelming. But in reality, it's just all an illusion. Our separation from each other is an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Our hardships are an illusion. It's just a school play, and eventually the curtain will go down and we'll go back home.
Wow, that's very well said. Elisa, is it Medhus?
Medhus, mm-hmm.
Medhus is our guest. Dr. Elisa Medhus is our guest. Her 20-year-old son took his life a couple years ago, and he has come back. And she is a doctor, so this is like totally left brain woman, and is now a believer that there is much more to this life than we think. We are not who we think we are. We are so much more. Now you said that so your message kind of is to those who are grieving over a loss, or if you're yearning for answers. I tell you, I have one thing. Now I believe that we live many lives, and I know one thing, that I have this tremendous fear of drowning. I just can't even imagine a more horrible way to go than to, or being strangled or being trying to catch your breath. So, yet, in watching my mother die, she just was breathing. She was unconscious, and she was breathing, and then she let out her last breath, and that was it. There was no struggle. Did he describe to you some things that he went through?
Yeah, he said when he pulled the trigger, first he wasn't sure whether he wanted to. Should I, shouldn't I? We didn't even know he had a gun at all. And then all of a sudden, he remembers hearing sort of a ricochet sound, but he felt no pain, and he, looked down on his body, and first of all, he was a little alarmed by just what he looked like and what he sort of left behind, but then he tried real hard to touch his hand and to get the gun out of it, et cetera, but he was amazed by the fact that what he calls it, the stop mechanism, was not there. His hand just went right through his hand, and he thought that was really odd, and he tried to turn his head, and then he thought about Norway. We have a little cabin in Norway because my husband's from Norway, and boom, he was there in an instant. So he was also very amazed by the fact that thought, created reality so instantaneously. You can manifest anything.
Wow.
If you want to, be on the slopes snowboarding, you think about it, and you create it. And he talks about how you can co-create things with your buddies over there.
Wow. You know, I have to tell you this. I just am putting this together right now, but I had the weirdest dream last night, and I don't usually even remember my dreams, and I'm a very positive person, but I was dreaming that everybody was getting killed around me, and they were trying to kill me, and they were trying to, I'm like, oh, please don't make it hurt. And like they hit, they were putting nails in my head, and it didn't really hurt. And then they were bashing me with a bat, and then they were shooting at me, and then I kept getting up and running. And I wonder if this was in preparation for this call.
Well, I don't know. The last radio show that I did was Everything Positive Radio. I was a little nervous because Eric plays a lot of pranks on people, and he likes buttons, and he was messing with a lot of buttons and opening and closing the door to the studio and all sorts of things. So I was a little nervous that he was going to, mess around with us here, Sheila, and I asked him not to.
We'll see.
So hopefully he'll obey.
Well, I'd like him to let me know if he's around, and I've been always wanting to talk to someone from the other side, or I have angels and guides, and I get guided. That's how I get guided, but. It must be such great comfort for you, at least, to know that you're being communicated to by him. and through others.
Yes, of course, yes. Of course, I would love to have him to hug and to kiss,
yeah,
et cetera. I miss that because we were always so physically affectionate. But, oh, goodness, it's wonderful to know that he's there and he's so, so incredibly happy and he's so fulfilled. And, you know, as a mother, that's all I want for my children is that they're fulfilled and that they're happy and I can be his little secretary and transcribe things for him and give him an opportunity to do that.
So now are you writing a book?
I'm trying to. I mean, he keeps bugging me about it,
yeah,
but boy, I tell you, it's just really hard to find the time. So,
I am,
you know, trying to compile some of what he says into
you
a book.
Should. Well,
Eric
you should.
Eric is kind of funny.
You should. That's...
Well, yeah, I'll get
What's
there.
What's your website, Elisa?
It's channelingeric.com. But Eric very
Here
often will visit and prank folks, and he curses like a sailor, too. I have to warn people that... and I think that is part of his allure, Sheila, is that he's not Archangel Michael or the Dalai Lama or whatever. He's no big guru, but he's just a boy that's flawed like us.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have him say in his young, curse word-laden
way,
to give us a little insight and to learn what he's learning as he's learning, it's very refreshing. I feel like he's one of us.
ChannelingEric.com, E-R-I-K. ChannelingEric.com. Is that right?
Uh-huh. That's
right.
Right.
Okay. ChannelingEric.com is her website. Now, what did he say? No pain, huh? It didn't hurt. I guess that would be so quick and it just...
Well, no, he says that most deaths, unless you want it to be painful, it's not painful. He claims that some people, you know, they might say, well, you know what, I've never experienced a painful death. I think I'll give it a whirl. They'll do that. But otherwise,
yeah,
you usually leave your body before that happens.
Oh, interesting.
Before you experience any pain.
Mm.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing. So now how has this changed your life? Are you still practicing as a physician?
Oh, yeah, of course. It has changed my life in many ways. First of all, the fact that I'm able to share in a blog. You know, I seem to heal when I help others. I don't know. It's a doctor thing. It's the mama thing. But it does really help me. And so the Channeling Eric family, shout out to all you guys. We've become very, very close. We plan to meet and get together in Atlanta for a Channeling Eric workshop. I plan to go to L.A., visit my sister, and have a big meetup with the California blog members. But we're all very, very close, and we just love each other, and we have each other's backs. And if anybody feels down and out, we all rally to support each other. So,
wow.
It's an extra family.
Mm-hmm. Okay, channelingeric.com. So people who have lost a loved one can do that.
Yeah, and it has seemed to really help a lot of people who
of
grieve.
Course.
There's been many instances, and they'll... You know, usually it's even more insightful to read the comments than the entries. But the folks who've said, I was on the brink of suicide until I read what Eric had to say, and I'm so comforted that I decided to live.
Oh, my God.
There have been very many instances of that. One time I came home and I had an email, suicide note from a blog member. I'll be gone in just a few hours. And we rallied the troops together, and now that gentleman is just doing great.
Oh,
you know?
That's
so it has
wonderful.
Really helped a lot of people, including me, and of course, including Eric.
Yes. Well, that is so great. So what else I'm reading here, what the afterlife is like. What else? What is the meaning of life?
Well, I guess to remember who we are.
To remember who we are.
Exactly, and we have to have that little separation illusion so that we can be little puppets into the big bed sheet fighting each other and loving each other, et cetera. But now Eric's main job, well, he does several things. One is he is our little insider guide to the afterlife, but he's also a guardian angel trainee. So
oh.
He has this other
cool.
angelic being by his side, you know, like... like at the Olive Garden where you have a trainee waiter and
right.
The guy's behind him and, you know, checking him and making sure he gets the order right.
He's an
That's
intern.
What Eric's doing. And if he does not know the answer to something, then he'll step aside and the angelic being will answer for him. But he also has, I think it's because he's so chatty, he's a great facilitator of communication between deceased and their loved ones. There's a lot of deceased spirits that don't know how to talk to their loved ones. And a lot of times when a deceased spirit is close to a loved one, it will trigger grief in that person. And so the deceased spirit or the discarnate spirit is at a loss of how to get through that heavy grief, that lower density vibrational frequency.
Yeah.
So he helps them, brings them in lucid dreams, teaches them how to communicate with those left behind on the desert plane. But he also helps teens and adults who are suicidal. So he's got
his hands full.
Multitasker.
Now, how often do you see him or communicate with him or hear him?
Gosh, not enough, I tell you. I mean, I have ADD, so I think it's like incoming missiles. It's like getting through a landmine. So it might be difficult for him, but there's been so many things that have happened. For example, he makes this Viking downdraft vent go up and down every time my husband goes in. But this is the interesting part about it. He did this when we were remodeling our kitchen, and it was disconnected from all power, all electricity. And there was a one time where he called us on the phone.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and we heard his voice, or I heard his voice. Hi, Mom, it's me, it's Eric.
Wow. You know, I have a 17-year-old son.
Oh.
So just, you know, to hear this is... And my neighbor across the street lost their son, and my neighbor next to me lost their son, and the neighbor around the corner lost their son. Ooh.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, knock on wood.
Give him a big hugging kiss.
Yeah, so, you know, and we all say, let me ask you this. So do you ever wake up and just say to yourself, God, it's so weird to be alive?
Well, usually the first thing I think of is when I wake up, being so raw still with this tragedy, is, oh, my gosh, Eric is still dead.
Yeah.
And the last thing I think about is, oh, Eric is still dead.
Still dead.
So it's always,
but, you know,
always
it is. I think it's just such a weird experience, and I can't believe how weirder it gets as I get older. Like, doesn't everybody else? I can't believe how people just walk around, you know, and just, you know, like this all means something really important. And you know, it took the death of your son for you to kind of wake up to, wow, there is more, and you know, and how wonderful. I mean, how sad that he had to, that you didn't get him in the physical realm for any longer than 20 years.
Yeah.
I only had my dad for 18. But, you know, but yet, look at how many people you're helping to wake up and connect with those that have parted, to tell people, so there really is more than this life?
Yeah, well, it's mostly Eric. I don't really do that much. I transcribe with all my typos and grammatical errors. But, you know, I'm sort of his... Sometimes
secretary.
A reluctant little scribe. So.
Virtual secretary.
Yeah, virtual secretary. There we go. Only I don't live in India.
Yeah. Well, I think it's wonderful. So we can write to you and blog with you on your website.
We're all family.
Okay. Yes, we are. ChannelingEric.com. Dr. Elisa Metis and lost her 20-year-old son 2 years ago, and he's been visiting. And channeling. Is there a way, do you know, that people, if they wanted to communicate with their loved ones, that they could do? Is there?
Yes, you know, and there's one of the blog members, Jason, is a very gifted channel, and he's even created his own Facebook page or website, Channeling Eric, Jason Channeling Eric, I think it is. And he helps to teach us how to channel. Everybody apparently has the ability to it. A lot of people can channel Eric really easily. If you go to the media arc gallery on the website and memorize his voice through some of the videos, and at night if you just start, you know, talking to him, hey, Eric, and you hear his voice in response.
Cool.
You can
I'm going to
try
that. Start
a conversation with him. He's
I'm gonna
very,
try
very
that.
Chatty.
Wow. So what's the other quick thing that we could do that, you know, any other idea about how we could communicate with someone?
Well, for those of you guys who are bereaved, you know, remember that when you feel grief, it often is that your loved one is right next to you, because that triggers that emotion. And so just try to turn your grief into joy. Just all of a sudden, just slip it and say, hey, how you doing, Eric, or whatever the name of your loved one is. I love you, and think about wonderful memories. And then that seems to invite them into your life more, and you'll start to have more visits. And also, it seems like if you just send them love, then they come in dreams more frequently, and they, in Eric's case, prank you and so on and so forth. So if you send them love, it sometimes just increases their energy level and their ability to manifest, I think.
Okay, well, we're out of time. ChannelingEric.com, Dr. Elisa Medhus. An honor to meet you, and thank you for doing this great work and turning something negative into something positive.
Well, I thank you for all you do, too, Sheila. My goodness, you're reaching so many people and awakening so many people spiritually. So I'm in awe myself.
Bless you. Well, thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, my friends, remember, this is all just a dream. Open your mind. Take your control back. We've been living in unconsciousness for too long. You're far more than you think you are. We've been left brain prisoners. Just remember, the best is yet to come. We're unfolding, opening, awakening. I wish you infinite love and appreciation.
Community Radio for the Central Coast, AM 1240, KNRY, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz.